School is over, yay! But we switched very quickly from school to Vacation Bible School. Because Vacation Bible School starts, is that 2 weeks? 2 weeks. So we've got 2 weeks to convert the gym from a gym into a mighty fortress. So if you've got any time you want to help us, we could certainly use the help. Registration forms are in the connecting link. Volunteers need to be registered in advance. And we've got a meeting Tuesday at 10? We do. Okay. So yes, everything is coming along very quickly. We had a great week last week of school this week. We had graduation on Thursday night, which was wonderful. We had the picnic Friday morning with perfect weather, except for the fighter jets that kept flying by every 6 or 8 minutes that caused us a little discontent, but it's okay. Then we had closing chapel and a nice little thing for Rick as he was closing out his last couple of days with the kids in school as he retires. Also had a nice moment with Stephanie Ziemba. Our kindergarten teacher has decided to take a position over at Christian Life School, which is like 2 blocks from her house, which saves her like 2 hours every day. So we are sad to see her go, but we know it's the best for her and her family. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at Mound Cemetery, Pastor Foucher will be leading a Memorial Day service, which is a long, ongoing tradition over there. So if you're inclined, please give that a try. In our prayers for today, we continue to keep Mark Eichhorst in our prayer. See the front page of the Journal Times. There is a marvelous article on Mark in there this morning. So see that. He was doing pretty well when I saw him yesterday. They're finally getting him back out of bed again, and he's sitting up to eat for his meals. So he's doing okay. We also remember Virginia Maurer. Apparently, she's in the hospital right now for some dehydration, and she's stable, but she's got a little bit of fast heart rate and stuff like that. Also in our prayers is Stacy Smearer's father. He's enduring cancer at this point. Hal Breitweiser, we will remember him in our prayers as well. With those announcements, we will begin with our first hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We join together with the intro it printed on the insert. I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. Make a joyful noise.
Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And here is his name with thanksgiving, and his words with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father, for you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. One announcement that I forgot that really doesn't apply to you, but next week we begin our summer schedule with services at 8 and 9:30. So if you decide for some reason to go to the 9:30 service, we start next week. The first reading for Ascension Day is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, whom was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. We speak together the words of the gradual. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. We rise in honor of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes toward heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn.
Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. You may be seated. Today, we celebrate the glorious and victorious ascension of our Lord Jesus. Death has been defeated, Christ is arisen, salvation has come, and now God the Father receives the Son back into the heavenly realm and crowns him with honor and glory as he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, technically, the commemoration of Ascension Day was this past Wednesday, in keeping with the 40 days after Easter, as reported in Acts chapter 1. This Monday, we turn our attention to a secular commemoration, one that is, for many of us, also intertwined with our faith, that of Memorial Day, remembering especially those who have served and sacrificed for our nation. Indeed, our calendars for both church and culture are well populated by commemorations of many kinds. President's Day, Labor Day, Independence Day, Flag Day, Mother's and Father's Day, Valentine's Day, Sweetest Day, even Groundhog Day. We commemorate the serious, the sacred, and sometimes even the silly. And each one of those commemorations is an opportunity for us to focus on a particular theme, event, or relationship. Today, as we celebrate the dawn of the church with Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit, I would like to offer a different sort of commemoration. I'm not proposing to start a national movement or even to prescribe that this become an annual tradition among us right here. But I submit to you that I also consider today to be Congregation Day. More specifically, Trinity Lutheran Church and School Day. Now, I choose this day not at random, but also not with any sort of long-standing plan or intention. It's not an idea that's been percolating for months. Instead, it is the Word of God before us today that calls this commemoration to mind. St. Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Those words of Paul are directed toward a congregation with whom he spent several years of his ministry. In fact, he spent a longer period of time among them than among anyone else in his extensive missionary journey. It is a congregation with whom he shared a deep affection. And perhaps that is why his words to the Ephesians rather leapt off the page for me as I consider the people of God with whom I serve right here. And while Pastor Jennings and I did not discuss this in advance, I'm quite sure I can speak for both of us in applying St. Paul's words to our congregation, thereby informally marking this Trinity Lutheran Church and School Day. You see, we who serve among you have not only heard of, but have continually seen and experienced your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward the saints, your brothers and sisters in Christ in this place. Your faith in our Lord Jesus is evident in part as we gather together here week after week, a congregation that is truly committed to faithfully upholding the true word of God and receiving his sacraments as his gifts to us, given to nourish and strengthen the very faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has planted in us. Here, we humbly declare our need for a Savior. We confess our sins before God and one another, and we receive the forgiveness and absolution of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from whom we get our name, Trinity. And here you have come again to participate in this simple yet bold act of faith, even at a time and in a culture that increasingly would have you believe that such humility, such dependence upon God is somehow foolishness. And so we share in such blessed foolishness. We who serve among you, as Paul once did in Ephesus, get to see your faith in the Lord Jesus up close, as you share with us experiences of how God is at work in your life and in the lives of those you love. I received an email note just the other day that said, "Prayer is a powerful thing. Dad made it through surgery far better than we expected." We see your faith as you reveal the burdens that you carry in this life and seek the hand of God's deliverance. It is indeed an honor to be allowed to walk alongside you with those burdens, that you would trust them to us, that you would consider us a part of the care that God has provided for you. We see you sometimes waiting with great patience for God's will to be done. And not only that, we see your love toward all the saints, your love for this community of brothers and sisters in Christ. We see and personally experience the affection that runs deep among so many in our church and school. We see how you respond when someone is in need among us. I recall when a mother whose child had been quite ill stopped me in the hall one day, and she said, "I wish that everyone could experience the love we have for each other in this church that my family has experienced in the last few weeks. It's incredible." Indeed, it is. And I suspect her words speak for many in our congregation who have experienced the love of fellow Trinity members. Sometimes that's expressed almost anonymously, like the cards that we receive in my home, and I'm sure many other homes, for occasions like birthdays and anniversaries, faithfully conveying the love and affection of Trinity Lutheran Ladies Aid. Sometimes that love and affection is pretty boisterous, like when 220-some children gave thanks for Mr. Hansen's many years of service here as he retired from full-time work. And even tough old Rick stood at that lectern and cracked just a little. And I had the opportunity this past week to talk to someone from outside of our immediate community about Trinity. And I could happily report that in 110 years or so, we have never experienced harmful division in this body. Thanks be to God. And just as Paul also wrote, "We do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in our prayers. Indeed, we who serve among you give thanks to God for you every day, for the privilege and pleasure of serving here, for the extraordinary support and affection shown to us in peaceful and challenging times alike, and for your commitment to the ministry of Jesus Christ. But notice in Paul's writing to the Ephesians that his expression of gratitude on behalf of God's people in that congregation is not static. He is not content to see them standing still in their faith, as if his letter were simply a measure of congratulations and nothing more. Instead, he calls them to be actively growing in faith. Indeed, that was the theme of our school year just ended, growing in Christ. And listen again to the breadth of growing that Paul is encouraging among these people of God whom he loves. He prays that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. And Paul goes on to clarify that all of the blessings that we have been worked out for us through Christ. As Paul writes, when God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heaven with a name above every name and gave him as head over all things to the church. Such a prayer for God's people is powerfully active. Paul prays for them as we pray for you, that God's Spirit continue to enable our congregation to grow in wisdom and knowledge and faith as together we look toward the hope that is our inheritance in Christ. Indeed, Paul describes the church as the very body of Christ. And so we pray to be united as one body in our focus on Christ, even as Jesus himself prayed to the Father for his disciples that they may be one even as we are one. Seeing ourselves as one body in doctrine and affection, we will continue that legacy of faith in the Lord Jesus and the love toward all the saints in this place. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, the disciples gazed upward in awe and wonder at what God was doing right before their very eyes. We too have good reason to gather here week after week and gaze upward toward our God in awe and wonder for what he has done for us and what he continues to do in and through us. We gaze not at the figure of a man ascending from the earth, no, instead, we gaze at an empty cross, and we consider the miracle that occurred as Jesus once hung upon that cross, but does so no longer. Here and now is a time we rightly set aside to be in awe of God. But like the disciples on the mountain, here is not where we are exclusively intended to be. Jesus told the disciples clearly, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And Jesus tells us the same. You, Trinity, will be my witnesses in Racine and southern Wisconsin and throughout America and to the ends of the earth. And the Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus to the disciples on Ascension Day, is the same Spirit that moves in and through us, through his word and his sacraments, to make us such disciples. And the truth is, we really don't need a special day to commemorate being Trinity Lutheran Church and School. We just need another new day to celebrate being God's people, another day to love one another, Another new day to be his witnesses. Another day to look together with hope toward his return. And today is just such a day. Amen.